Welcome to the tax update for 30th November, and as usual we have six items to cover, and this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which themselves contain links should you wish to do further research. I begin by looking at the timetable for the finance bill, which is likely to be curtailed because of the election in May 2015. We'll get a finance bill published on the 10th of December, along with explanatory notes and responses to various consultations throughout this year. And I hope that the government is realistic and aims to present a short bill which can be enacted before the end of March. On 5th November, HMRC organised a stakeholders' conference, and he delivered a speech saying that his rule of thumb is that a simpler system is a better system. But in reality, throughout his tenure as a Treasury Minister, we have seen ever more complex and voluminous tax legislation coming forth. I think it would be helpful if Mr. Gowk would try to simplify the tax legislation and make it easier for ordinary businesses to comply. It must be difficult because the Director of Compliance and Enforcement, Jenny Granger, announced at that same stakeholder conference that HMRC have two-thirds of the 800 largest businesses in the UK under inquiry, and over the last 4 years, they claim to have recovered an extra £31 billion of tax from their inquiries into large business. Now, that's quite a statistic. That's over a quarter of the alleged tax gap. And it must mean that many of our larger businesses are devoting a lot of time to tax compliance and negotiating with HMRC. As Christmas approaches, you might be interested in a wee tax tip that you can make a tax-efficient gift to clients, or indeed tell clients that they can make a tax-efficient gift to customers, provided you remember that that gift cannot be food, alcohol or tobacco, and that it must be a gift that bears a conspicuous advertisement like a firm logo, and also that the total of any such gifts must not exceed £50 in any single tax year. HMRC have announced that they have updated the inheritance tax manual to deal with changes to intestacy, and also to update the manual in relation to lifetime transfers like pets, gifts with reservation, immediately chargeable transfers such as into a discretionary trust, and deemed transfers. There was an interesting case, and it's not really a VAT case, it's about costs. Practitioners will be aware that you can go to the first tier tribunal and seek a ruling that whichever way the decision emerges, there will be no cost sought. But what practitioners may not be aware of is that if HMRC should lose and then appeal to the upper tribunal, there is no similar protection. Although in practice, if there's a point of wide issue, then HMRC will often agree not to seek costs in order that the law can be clarified. But that didn't apply in the case of Mr. Patel, who wanted to recover input tax of £8,444 under Section 35 of the VAT Act. But he fell foul of a time limit, which is 3 months and quite strict. And as a result of difficulties with planning, he decided not to proceed on the basis of the original planning application, but to demolish the building and do a new build. Now, technically, he would have been entitled to recover the VAT, provided he'd respected the time limit. But when he put the claim in, he hadn't changed the planning permission, and so HMRC refused it. And it went to the first-tier tribunal, who then suggested that he obtain planning permission for the new build, which he got. But by that time, he was out of time. But in fairness, the first-tier tribunal decided that he could have the VAT back, and HMRC appealed to the upper tribunal, who, recognising the strict interpretation of the law, denied Mr. Patel the VAT. That is all perfectly proper. What stinks is then HMRC, who had changed their argument several times, sought costs after HMRC had gone to the appeal with a solicitor and counsel, even though Mr. Patel was not attending in person and had lodged a written submission. If fairness had anything to do with the matter, Mr. Patel would have succeeded in his claim for the recovery of input VAT if he'd met the time limit of linking together the planning permission and his claim. He would have succeeded, but the time limit of 3 months is strict, and the bureaucracy of getting planning permission is such that it took longer, so he failed. Now that's a technicality. Mr. Patel was denied the input tax that in other circumstances was rightfully his because of that technicality, but for HMRC then to come along and seek costs was just outrageous, especially as the sums involved were so small. Fortunately, Colin Bishop, the Upper Tribunal judge, decided this was an exceptional case and that it would be unfair to compel Mr. Patel to pay or contribute to HMRC's cost of an appeal. That was a fair and just decision, and thank goodness some justice was available. But the case is a warning not to go to litigation and not to pursue an appeal unless you've got deep pockets or unless you protect yourself by seeking a no-cost ruling. And finally, on the 27th of November, Lord Smith has published the Smith Commission recommendations for more devolved powers to Scotland. At 28 pages, it's a good read. Thanks very much for listening.